Markets are starting Monday with a cautious posture. S&P futures were around 7,561 in early trading, with sterling under selling pressure on reports that UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer may announce a resignation timeline as early as today. That's a significant political development for Britain. Starmer came to power in July 2024, promising economic stability and wound up facing austerity backlash. Reform UK's electoral surge, and now what appears to be an accelerating political unraveling. A Starmer resignation would put the Labour Party in the position of choosing a new leader mid-term with no obvious successor commanding broad support.
The dollar is firming against that backdrop. When there's simultaneous Hormuz tension, a fragile Iran deal, UK political instability, and ongoing questions about European energy security, the dollar's safe haven function asserts itself. That creates a feedback loop that makes U.S. exports relatively more expensive and complicates the earnings translation for multinationals. It's a headwind for S&P earnings that doesn't show up in the futures number.
On the Fed side, analysts are projecting that Kevin Warsh's Fed won't let a rate hike threat derail the bull market. The reasoning is that Warsh, despite his hawkish reputation, is operating in an environment where the inflation picture has moderated enough that the bar for raising rates is genuinely high. The base case among most Wall Street strategists is that Warsh keeps rates stable through the end of 2026 unless core PCE inflation reaccelerates above 3.5%, which would require either a commodity shock or a wage acceleration that the current labor market data doesn't support.
Goldman Sachs published a noteworthy call on aluminum over the weekend. Their analysts are forecasting a structural surplus in 2027, driven by supply waves from Indonesia and China that will more than offset the war-driven deficit created by Middle East tensions. If you're long aluminum, as an inflation hedge or a geopolitical risk play, Goldman is telling you the macro thesis gets crowded out by fundamental oversupply within 18 months.
The private equity story is one that gets less attention than it deserves. PE firms are piling debt onto portfolio companies specifically to fund distributions back to themselves, what the industry calls dividend recapitalizations. The mechanics work like this. A private equity firm buys a company, operates it for several years, then instead of waiting for an exit event like an IPO or sale, they have the portfolio company borrow money, which goes directly back to the PE firm as a dividend. The company is left holding the debt. When interest rates were near zero, the risk was manageable. With rates still significantly above pre-pandemic levels, these leveraged-up portfolio companies face real debt service burdens that constrain investment and in stress scenarios can trigger defaults.
The JD.com story is the automation displacement story rendered in concrete numbers. JD.com CEO warned that robots will replace 700,000 couriers. 700,000 is not a rounding error. That's a labor displacement event comparable to the automation of entire manufacturing sectors. China has been expanding its logistics robotics infrastructure aggressively, and JD.com is one of the most advanced deployments. The question isn't whether this happens. It clearly is happening. But at what pace the transition occurs and whether social safety net structures can adjust accordingly.
The Sheraton Philadelphia strike is also worth flagging because of its specific context. About 200 unionized hotel workers walked off the job Sunday, demanding wages matching standards already negotiated at five other center city hotels. The timing during the FIFA World Cup, which has flooded Philadelphia with high-spending tourists, is deliberate. Labor actions timed to high-profile events are more effective because the cost to management of disruption is higher, and the media visibility creates public pressure. Workers at Philadelphia hotels are asking for parity with peers at comparable properties, and the World Cup timing gives them maximum leverage.
The Samba TV acquisition of Bestiver AI to build autonomous advertising is one of those quiet deals that has larger implications for how digital advertising evolves. The idea of autonomous ad systems, AI, that not only targets ads but creates and optimizes them in real time without human creative input, is the logical extension of programmatic advertising. If you combine Samba's television audience data with Bestiver's generative AI capabilities, you get a system that can produce a personalized TV commercial for each viewer dynamically. That's the direction the industry is heading, and it raises obvious questions about advertising transparency and consumer data rights.